Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I want to tell you a wonderful story about a beautiful lady named Jan. And a few years ago, Jan suffered a terrible traumatic loss that she's still dealing with. Prior to that, Jan was married to the love of her life, Rich. Jan and Rich met when they were teens. She was from Lindora and he's from Ambridge. And they met at the Dairy Queen there on, you know, Cranberry there. And he had just finished playing softball. He went there for a chocolate milkshake and he met Jan. And they talked and they talked and there was just sparks there. And so he invited her out and they dated and they fell in love and they got married, a wonderful marriage and a beautiful wedding ceremony. And they had a boy and a girl. And Jan and Rich were very happy. They're involved in the Lutheran church up there in Butler, and they're very active, and life was good. Life was very good. But during the summer one year, Rich started to experience stomach pains. And so he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, you know, probably ulcers, take some Maalox, and help your stomach. But the Maalox, it didn't help. So the next hypothesis was that, well, maybe Rich had a autoimmune syndrome. So maybe he had this Crohn's disease. And so he was put on prednisone. And as you helped me with that, that seemed to help him. And he was feeling better. And he felt the best he did for a while, for a whole year. But then around Thanksgiving, he started feeling deathly ill again. And his wife took him to the hospital. He had a CAT scan, and the doctors looked at his liver, and it looked like a Swiss cheese. There was cancer everywhere. And they also discovered a walnut-sized tumor on his colon, which probably was where the cancer started and metastasized from there. And the doctor advised Jan and Rich to get their affairs in order and spend as much time as they could with together and their kids, because he probably only had a few months to live. And 2 months later, he died. And he fell asleep in the Lord and went to heaven. But Jan, this was devastating. Rich was the love of her life. It was her whole world. She loved her kids, but, you know, it hurt her so bad. And she felt so alone and vulnerable, and they had been good churchgoers, and she became very mad and angry at God, and she didn't go to church, the heck with that, and she just got very busy and did a lot of things and kept very busy to distract her from her pain. But Jan was called back to Jesus by a wonderful pastor, Pastor Gary Haddock. Gary is a friend of mine. We went to the Institute of Former Spirituality together and to Duquesne at the Pittsburgh Pastoral Institute. And Gary visited her and let her express her anger at God and her grief and her tears. And he sat with her through it. And also her loving church family never gave up on her. They sent her cards, they'd call her, sent her food. They loved her. And it took a long time, because this grief was very, very deep. But she was able to listen through her pastor, through her beautiful congregation, to the Holy Spirit. And she was honest with her feelings. And it wasn't easy. Going through grief takes a lot of courage, because grief is not an easy experience. It's very exhausting. But if you have loving friends and loving church to back you up, you can do it. And she was called by the Holy Spirit, and through her pain, which never fully went away and doesn't go away, but time, there was healing, and it became less severe. You know, when that kind of pain hits us, and it does, it's hard to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen. Sometimes it's hard to even be in church and listen to Jesus, as Mary did in today's gospel. It's easier to be busy. It's easier to be busy like Martha and try to get lost in your work and distracted and not deal with what's really happening with us, what's going on inside of us, what we're really feeling and experiencing. Of course, we need both. We need the Martha part of us, and we need the Mary part of us. We need the part of us that sits before Jesus' feet, but also the side of us that does some work. My Benedictine friends, they have an old saying, ora et labora. You need time for prayer, but also time for work, so you need both. But it has to start with to be still and know God is God. Just like you're doing right now from your busy schedules. You took time this hour or so to be still and come here to hear God. If we just try to continue to live our lives frantically and distractively and have the television on and the computer and rush, 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 we don't deal with our real problems, and it could lead to hopelessness and helplessness and a sense of emptiness and a sense of a burnout, because eventually what's inside, deep inside of you, is going to express itself. It's going to come through either emotionally or physically. It's in there. It has to be consciously dealt with. So often when people go through traumatic difficulties, like the death of a close loved one, or a divorce, or an illness, or a loss of a job, they become despairing. My wife was telling me, because of this inflation, it's heard about somebody committed suicide because their money was, their bank account was out. They become despairing. And it leads to desperation. And this despair can lead us to think that we can heal ourselves or self-medicate, or maybe there's drugs or watching a lot of television or whatever, or to forget about the pain by being distracted by many things, doing this, doing that. But there's a better way. There's a better way Jesus talks about today. There is a way out of this. My friend, Pastor Haddock, invited Jen to precisely this better way. Jesus invites Martha today, and all of us today, to this better way. Mary, in today's gospel, knew that before she did anything, she had to do this. She had to know the Lord in her heart, in her soul, in her mind. Right now, you're doing this. Through your business, whatever's going on in your lives, you're taking time to let Jesus be with you and Jesus be in you, to listen to him. You're taking the time from your busy schedules to be still and know you are loved by God, that God's with you. No matter what you're going through, Jesus is with you. You are not or ever will be alone. And as we sit at Jesus' feet, he teaches us. Like he did to the apostles in the first Easter, he breathes on us. So not only is this listening, but the spirit, the experience of Jesus' presence is in our lives, and new life and new hope and new imaginations and new possibilities are possible. Wisdom that common sense in this society that in many ways has a bunch of nonsense. When we are at the bottom, at the end of our ropes, we often feel too helpless and hopeless to open to God. But remember Jan. Jan became open to God through the lowest part of her life. She hit bottom. And she became open to being healed by the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit in the midst of her pain. And it made all the difference in the world in her life. It took a while. And some promptings from one of her helpers, Pastor Haddock, and a great love from her church family, their congregation. The secret to overcoming darkness is to be still and sit at Jesus' feet, to seek the light that his Spirit offers, to trust what's possible only in Jesus Christ. When we're hurt or angry or anxious, it's easy to fall into darkness, into the trap of cynicism and skepticism and despair and paranoia and cultism and occultism and tribalism. You know, sometimes God gives us a hint of the truth, but it's just a hint. There's always more to it. You know, that's why there's so many denominations in the Christian church. Somebody got this view of Jesus, and somebody got this. They thought it was the only view, and other views were wrong, and their view was right. But it's more than that. We need all, because God is all. I remember a friend of mine, Pastor Blair Morgan, he had in his office a picture of Jesus' face. But if you looked really closely at it, it was made up of these little pictures of all these men and women and from America and Canada and Asia and Africa, all of them made up Jesus' face. And the more we give ourselves over to the power of the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, the more it helps us be open to God. Because if we don't, if we go into the hate and cynicism and paranoia, we isolate ourselves. And we become more lonely and more alone. And we fight sitting at the feet of Jesus, the thing we need the most. We fight that. And we center and start going into a downward spiral. You know, as I listen to people, and Christians, non-Christians, people of different faiths. In fact, we're going to have a few Hindus over to our house tonight just to talk with them. I've noticed that people who share with me that they've heard God's voice or experienced Jesus' presence with them, sometimes it's only after they've hit bottom, because then all the other distractions are gone and they're open to the Word of God, to be still and know God. And God responds to them. That's the whole thing that Alcoholics Anonymous, or, you know, people hit bottom and then they're open to a higher power. And then they become transformed. And the AA group is their support. Well, we have our Christian group here of loved ones that love you and love each other. It's possible for all of us to live our lives in which we intentionally cultivate a listening heart to Jesus, a listening mind to Jesus. In other words, to practice things like worship, like you're doing, weekly worship, daily prayer, opening the Bible and Scripture, opening a devotional. All this opens us more and more to Christ. That time we spend with Jesus is sitting at Jesus' feet, no matter where we are, in the church, at home. If you have a little devotional in your purse or in your suit, you can do it at work. And these disciplines facilitate sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to Jesus, forming holy habits in our lives. Through starting the day, maybe. Maybe the first thing in the morning, before your feet hit the ground, make the sign of the cross and think of three things that you're thankful for. During the day, anytime you hear a negative or a put down, think of three positives, three things. Go to your happy place. You know, maybe it's the beach, maybe it's the church, maybe it's at a Super Bowl when the Steelers are winning. Wherever that happy place is, go there and smile, because God's with you. Your endorphins wake up when that happens. The point is being intentional about your relationship with Jesus Christ, because he's intentional about his relationship with you, which opens us to the Holy Spirit. And we then know a joy and happiness that passes all understanding. If we are willing to be still and sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him, to pay attention to him, to adore him, and choose the better part like Mary, we plant the seeds of God's fruit, the Holy Spirit's fruit in our lives, and brings us out of the darkness, brings us Our soul blossoms then, like a flower opens up. It's fragrant in the beautiful colors of the flower of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, fruits of the Spirit, fruits that give us life and transform our lives to be happier, healthier people, and through this positive energy, affecting others with this happiness and joy of Jesus Christ. It's called witness. It's called evangelism. As we move from darkness into God's marvelous light. You know, we are worried and distracted and anxious about many things. And if we look at our world, we have a lot to be worried about. There's a lot to be anxious about. And there is, though, an antidote to the way of the world. An antidote to worry and anxiety. And that antidote is Jesus. And he tells us, you only need one thing. One thing. Like Mary, Jesus invites us to choose the better part. To spend time with him and know that one thing. Because he promises us at the end of our gospel reading today, that one thing will never be taken away from us. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.